Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the third innings. My name is Maxwell Charles, and alongside me, as always, is my co-host and good friend, Prasuk Jain. So, Prasuk, how are you going today?
Not bad. Another Saturday cricket session at VRA. Body still sore. Hoping to recover in the coming days and looking forward to the next one.
My body's still sore from last year's training, even though I skipped it. So, you know who didn't skip any cricket this week?
Who?
The West Indians. I believe they've been playing a test against Sri Lanka over there in the Caribbean this week. Would you maybe like to give us a rundown of what happened?
As Les said in the last test as well, that's something we were looking forward to, something we were waiting for in the test arena, having a draw. Mm-hmm. And we got another draw on our hands this week. West Indies lost the toss. They were put into bat by the Sri Lankan team, but they managed a very good total of 354 in the first innings. It started a bit dodgy because the ball was doing a lot and the Sri Lankans were bowling well, but
Saranga Lakmal.
Exactly.
Four for 94 in the first innings.
Yeah, well, bowled well. But Craig Brathwaite had other ideas. He just didn't get out. He scored another century. And, well, we'll talk about the rankings, the century rankings in a bit. But Sri Lanka followed that up with a 258. That was a bit under par, especially given how the wicket was, and gave West Indies a good lead, which they continued to pile on in the second innings when they scored 280 for four before declaring the innings, I think 10 overs before end of day four, and putting Sri Lanka into bat for 4.5 sessions. But who would have expected? Sri Lanka batted through, losing only 2 wickets in the 4.5 sessions. And they managed to score 193, not enough. You would say in 4.5 sessions, but they just shut their shop.
Shut their shop.
As soon as they started playing, there was a bit of rain interruption as well.
True.
Which took away some time from the West Indians, but Sri Lanka batted well to save the test.
True. It's the first 0-0 scoreline since 2015 in a test series. I think that just shows how exciting test cricket has been recently.
Exactly. It's
the rejuvenation of test cricket.
A lot of people would disagree with that. A lot of people would say it was boring.
Mm-hmm.
But I find this as very interesting, very fascinating. Again, a lot of people, if you say to a soccer fan, for example, that a game went on for 5 days and we still don't have a winner. Mm-hmm. A series went on for 10 days and we still don't have a winner.
Mm.
That's fascinating for me as a test lover.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything boring with a live test match on YouTube, being able to watch not just that, but live radio on YouTube as well. So if you don't want to waste all your mobile data, thank you, West Indies Cricket Board. We appreciate it.
And good quality.
Good quality as well. You might not, this goes for New Zealand cricket as well. You might not hear it a lot, but we appreciate you. We would have no other legal way to watch the game.
Exactly.
So we appreciate you stopping us from being criminals.
After so many years, I watched a cricket game legally.
Oh. Yeah, sorry. Thank you. Cricketstream.me. You got a new rival. Craig Brathwaite, as you said, nice big 126 in the first innings. He backed it up with a good 85 in the second innings as well. Over 200 runs for the test. 71 not out from Holder as well in the second innings. This West Indian batting at 5, was it?
He was batting at 5, finally.
Bit of a promotion. This West Indian middle order, this machine that is West Indies cricket, seems to be re-oiled and up and running again. And big man, we love him. Carl Mayers, 55 as well, continuing his good run of form.
The youngsters like coming, right? Kyle Mayers and Bonner, good youngsters for West Indies batting.
Yeah. Youngsters in terms of experience.
Yeah, of course, in terms of experience, not in terms of age. In terms of experience, the new ones, sort of untested they were before this series, and now the future in their hands, sort of, until they can play.
COVID could have been the saving grace for West Indian cricket recently. That COVID tour to Bangladesh, where a lot of players think, probably don't want to go. Fair enough to them, a personal choice. Yeah. Support it,
of course,
100%. That allowed players like an Nkomo Bonner, like a Carl Mayers, to go and prove themselves in the international arena without having to best out Jason Holder for his test spot, but just to go in and show, hey, Shai Hope, you might want to up your ante a bit if you actually want to still be here. Shane Darrich, people like that. And very much looking forward to this new era of West Indian cricket. Still some stalwarts. Kemar Roach taking through for 58 in the first innings as well for Sri Lanka's first innings. Sorry. Sri Lanka batting as well. Mm-hmm. Getting better as they go along. Dimoth Kruna-Ratne, 75. Oshada Fernando, 66, not out. Very, very nice stuff.
Save the game for the Sri Lanka.
Exactly, exactly. And in the first innings as well, Nisanka, the debutant from the previous test, the centurion debutant mm-hmm. as well, he scored a 51 following on his good form.
What an average, like, an average of 75?
Something like that, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
That's still less than Mizami average last year.
A little bit better quality bowling, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Nowhere else there's better quality bowling than in Mizami cricket.
Anything else?
Anything? True. Probably in Antarctica. Don't be bad. I don't know how penguins bowl, but
better maybe. Than Zabi.
Maybe. Maybe. A bit of a more of a straighter arm action.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. Where there is better quality cricket, for sure, is in South Africa. South Africa and Pakistan just started their ODI series. Pakistan winning in the end in a final ball thriller? Was it a thriller? Or was it a massive cock-up that they just managed to save?
I almost switched off my telecast. Mm-hmm. Let's call it telecast.
Mm.
I almost switched it off because it was done.
Mm.
The way Babar Azam was batting, along with Imam Ulhaq,
mm.
it was... there was no way they could have gotten out. There was no way, apart from what happened after scoring a century, he just nicked one off. Maybe lapse of concentration or something. And then Andrik Nokia, the way he ran through the middle order, it was good bowling, but it was a suicide from Pakistan, not the first one that we have seen.
Mm.
They are masters of huge collapses.
Mm.
And that brought South Africa back into the game.
Yeah, of course, Andrik Nokia's 4-for-51 of 10 is going to be leading the charge for the Delhi Capitals in this year's IPL. If you want to know a bit more about the IPL, give our IPL predictions episode a listen. How about that? Extreme pace. We like to see it. We also like pronouncing his name, Nokia. It's a type of Italian pasta as well.
Is it?
Yeah, well, that's Gnocchi, but...
That's Gnocchi. Yeah,
it's close enough. Well,
I'm hungry.
Me too. So let's get through this and we can go have a feed. Ramiz Raja made a fair point, the Pakistani commentator. He said Pakistanis make the game interesting and that's why they're in high demand around the world. And he has a point. No other team could go from such a strong position at 2-for-186 in the 32nd over, yet somehow manage to make it a last ball affair. And they could have actually lost this game if Vanda Dussen took that catch in the second last over. Difficult catch, but he got there, and that's professional cricket. You touch the ball, it's a drop. You don't make it, it's not a drop.
And even if you miss the ball by one or 2 feet,
mm.
it's still a drop.
Mm.
And I think that's what happened with Vanda Dussen.
Mm.
He probably thought, I scored the century, mm. enough for the game maybe.
Mm-hmm. If I'm running around the boundary from mm-hmm. fine leg, like I do, let's say someone played a hook shot, and I'm running around the boundary to try and take this catch,
mm-hmm.
and I miss it by 2 meters, mm-hmm. is that a drop catch, or is that me putting all my effort in and it probably wasn't a catch to be
Depends
made?
On where the 2 meters are, in front of you or next to you?
In front of me.
That's not a drop, but in case of Van der Dussen, it was next to him.
How about...
Dived in the wrong line.
The only way I would think that you get to a... Oh, no, that's not true.
Ball was in the air for 5 or 6 seconds, I think.
Mm.
And maybe lesser, but mm. enough time for him to reach it.
Mm.
I think he started late and then
mm.
In his defense, the ball might have been swirling around a bit
mm.
because it was a sort of a leading edge or something.
Mm.
So the ball might be swirling around a bit,
mm.
but that was a game-changing moment.
True.
Before Ngidi decided to bowl a waist high no ball and gave a free hit, which went for a 4. But I think those two moments were very important. But Pakistan shouldn't have let themselves in that moment at all.
We shouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
It should have been a commanding victory.
Exactly. By 6 or 7 wickets or something with 10 overs to spare.
Yeah.
Easy.
But hey. We love them for it. You know who else we love? Like we said before, New Zealand. Oh. We love New Zealand.
I thought from East Raja.
Especially their especially their YouTube channel. They do very, very nice content. Thank you very much. Except for the highlights. Get your highlights real correct. Like, Jesus Christ. A guy does not go from 6 runs to 37 in a T20 and nothing happened.
Yeah. Like, and suddenly you see 2 wickets have fallen. You see that on the scorecard. Yeah. And not, you don't see the highlights of the wickets.
Mm. I pay good money for my free subscription to the New Zealand Cricket YouTube channel. I expect as good as content as we get here, which is unrivaled.
By the way, on that note, please subscribe if you're
please
listening
like
to
and subscribe, please. Anyway, yes, New Zealand have been playing some cricket. They've been playing against Bangladesh. They played 2 T20s since we've last talked to you, dear listeners. We're going to focus on this third T20, but there was plenty of drama in the second T20. So New Zealand go on to whitewash the series, 3-0. However, Bangladesh went into the second T20 in their chasing innings, not knowing the target that they were chasing.
What? That happens?
That happens. Duckworth Lewis Stern can be incorrect.
Mr. Duckworth, Mr.
Duckworth, Mr. Lewis, and Mr. Stern. I believe they're 3 people. So yes, they went into the second innings when they were chasing, not knowing what the target was. And then when they got the target, it was changed a couple overs later. And then changed another time. It was just calamity. Jimmy Neesham even took to Twitter as a firm New Zealander because he plays for the New Zealand team. He even took to Twitter and said, "What ridiculousness is this?
Never seen this before." Not sure if it made a difference with the chase.
No, that's what I was thinking.
But still, if being Bangladesh, having lost the first T20, having everything on the line, having the series on the line, the best chance to win a T20 game is to chase for Bangladesh, because they are those either way side, either this happens on a big note or this happens on a big note. Either they lose by 10 wickets or they win by 10 wickets, something like that.
Yeah. One way they could have gone about it is just dismiss the entire first innings score altogether and act like they are in a first innings game. They're setting up the score to be chased.
Yeah.
They could have gone about it like that, but instead they went about it a bit confused. And I think they went on the path of perhaps preserving wickets might keep them ahead of the Duckworth Lewis when you've got to chase that amount of runs. Nothing's going to keep you ahead of that Duckworth Lewis unless you score them quickly. New Zealand also scored runs very quickly in the third T20. They made their way to 141 for 4 off 10 overs. Again, a rain-affected game, but that's what happens when you play cricket in April in New Zealand.
And only lost 4 wickets.
Only lost 4 wickets.
So 14.1 runs every over without any damage. A lot of damage, at least.
Well,
so who was the main scorer?
Main scorer was a guy called Finn Allen, not to be confused with Fabian Allen, who is also a cricketer.
In the West Indies, I believe.
Yes. Finn Allen scored 71 off 29.
29 overs?
29 balls. 71 cricket runs off 29 cricket balls. Yes. And he had ample support from Martin Guptill, who scored 44 off 19.
Is it the same Martin Guptill who went unsold in the IPL?
I believe it. Is
Finn Allen went unsold as well initially. Again, if you want to know about more IPL predictions,
yes,
have a listen to the other episode.
Yes. Not much to talk about for Bangladesh. I feel like we did this last week as well, but until they start making performances, they do not deserve to have their names mentioned on this podcast, except for Shakib Al Hasan. We love ripping on Shakib Al Hasan.
And because he's playing IPL.
And because he's playing IPL instead of playing test matches for his country. Yes, so we're going to talk about more New Zealanders. Todd Assell, 4 for 13 off 2 overs. What?
2 overs?
4 for 13 off 2 overs. A wicket every 3 balls.
Only 13 runs given.
Only 13 runs given, 6.5. Although that was probably expensive for this. Also very economical, Southie, 3 for 15 off 2 overs.
Yeah, that's 7.5 runs an over.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that's why they made it to 76. But 76 all out in 10 overs? All out? What?
I think Netherlands team could do better than this.
Definitely. I think the Netherlands team has done better than this.
Yeah.
And they will.
Against New Zealand especially.
Yeah.
That's called Peter Bowden.
Yeah. Well, we got half our players from New Zealand anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, acclimatized already. Yeah. But they're going to... New Zealand versus... The Netherlands versus Bangladesh in the World Cup coming up. I'm tipping the Netherlands to take that game.
Any day.
Any day. Even with Saqib.
Maybe he goes to play something else.
Maybe.
Maybe there's something... maybe PSL starts again.
The Global T20 League in Canada.
Of course.
Yes. Yes. The Euro T20 Slam, if that's going back.
Ah, yeah.
Maybe.
Then he'll come to Amsterdam, right? To be ready to play.
Maybe. We could try and get him a gig in Milan as an overseas player in the European Cricket Series, the ECN.
That
big airtime, big sponsorship money.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would really enjoy it. Plenty of bookmakers to have a chat to. I don't know, actually, European Cricket Network. I'm not implying that your company is made of bookmakers. I'm not implying that at all. Just that Saqib Al Hassan might.
And it's telecast on YouTube as well.
Telecast on YouTube. It is the way of the future.
Reaching people at every corner of the world.
Every corner of this globe. Now, onto some general cricket news. Not necessarily team related, except they are related to every team.
But very, very important.
Yeah. Main one. The new DRS rule.
Finally.
Now, do not get your hopes up. Umpire's call is still a thing, even though computers will have a smaller margin of error than a human. Umpire's call is still a thing. Because if there isn't, we might as well be living in the Terminator.
Exactly. And on that note, I'm actually in support of that. Because that's the classic way of playing any sport.
Mm.
And I believe... as much as possible, if we have some human error part of it, human decision making part of it, that keeps it real.
Mm.
Otherwise, it just becomes a computer game.
Well, there's nothing. Well, first off, let's describe the new rule before we get into
All
it.
Right.
So, the wicket zone has been enlarged, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean. So,
I'm very, very excited as a bowler.
Please, do you know what I mean? Would you be able to explain this for me?
I do. So, previously, the wicket area, the wicket zone, used to end where the bails start.
Mm.
So, the bails... The groove of the bails.
Mm.
The place where the bails fit in the stumps.
Mm.
They were not... that area was not considered to be hitting the stumps.
Mm.
As a bowler, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If I hit the bails, it's out.
Mm.
So now that has been changed. Now the wicket zone has been extended to the top of the bails. So now even if half the ball is clipping the bails, that's out.
Mm.
That's not umpire score now. That's out. That's hitting the stumps.
Yeah, and rightly so. So Prasook, if you bowl a ball and there's no leg there, and it hits a bail on top of a stump, would that bail be dislodged?
I hope so. I really, really hope so.
And ergo, the batsman is out. So if this is why I don't understand the rule before. If it was to hit the top of the stumps where the groove was,
yep,
it would be out as well.
Yep.
If it's hitting the stumps at all, it should be out. This is what I don't understand about umpire's call. And I get what you mean about it being robotic, a kind of robotic game.
Mm.
But I'm not saying every single decision is made by Hawkeye or something like that. I mean, you still only get the two or three reviews. However, if it's hitting the stumps, it's out. If it's missing the stumps, it's not out. You can't tell me that an umpire's margin of error is less than a computer's.
No, absolutely. And it's not just about the decision being made. It's also, it has some effect on the reviews as well. Because, for instance, if it's out and the umpire has given it not out, then the bowling team reviews and it's overturned, then they retain the review.
Mm.
Nothing lost. But had the decision given that decision not out, batting team reviews, they lose a review.
Mm.
So the umpire's decision also has to do something with, has an impact on whether or not a team loses the review.
Mm. Yeah.
So in cases of umpire's call, fine, no one loses a review because it's umpire's call. But still, it can be gotten rid of. Absolutely, I agree with you.
Now, onto some news that hits very close to my heart. It was a sad day a couple of days ago. when this news broke, that the great almighty Chad Sayers is retiring. Do you know who Chad Sayers is?
Maybe you can explain it for the listeners.
Chad Sayers is the third highest wicket taker of all time for South Australia. South Australia has been playing cricket for a very long time and has seen some very good bowlers come through its doors. He is one of those guys who's 178, 180 kind of thing. Bowls 130s. If he played for England, he would have played 100 tests for England. But the fact that he was in the peak of his power during Darren Lehman's coaching of everyone needs to bowl 150 or you're not in the side kind of thing, meant that he only managed to play one test for Australia directly after Sandpaper Gate. When I think they were trying to show that, oh, we're changing, we're changing. Please don't fire me. Please don't. Get out of here. But he's one of my favorite players of all time. I grew up watching him from when I was 14, 15 on dodgy cricket.com.au streams at 4 a.m. glitch every time. And he would just tear through the opposition. He holds several records for most wickets in a season kind of thing. He is just a modern day great of Australian domestic cricket in general. And he has a first class bowling average of 25, I believe. And just something that he really needed, like a Michael Nisa is having, like same thing's happening to Michael Nisa right now. He needs that chance to show himself. And he just didn't get that.
Australian. On that note, we have a listener's question again this week. So thank you for that, Mr. Listener.
Thank you, Dad.
So the question is, I'll ask and then you might answer. As a hypothetical Australian Slovene born in Malaysia, but living in the Netherlands, who would you support in the upcoming tri-series between Netherlands, Nepal and Malaysia? That's going to happen from 2 weeks now, from now.
Well, for this hypothetical person, I believe it would be a very difficult choice. As you know, I'm very proud of my Malaysian upbringing, Malaysian heritage. Not more than my Gujarati upbringing or heritage. It would be... If it was a quadrangular series with Russia in there, it would make it even more difficult.
Yeah.
Or if somehow Slovenia made it as well into a pentagonal series. However, I would wish to be playing in that then. That would make it even trickier. But to answer your question, Dad, I believe I would have to go with the Netherlands. You know, I've seen them play in front of my eyes over here at the mighty VRA cricket ground.
Played with them, with a couple of them.
Played with a couple of them at times in the Boss Premier League.
Also?
Yeah.
I captained one of them in the Boss Premier League. Vikram, do well.
Vikram,
I'm watching you.
But in all seriousness, well, tour is coming up in a little bit of time. We'll have a couple episodes before that. But in all seriousness, to our Dutch brethren on their way over to Nepal soon, go well. Do well. Score runs. Take wickets. Do a cricket, please.
And bring back the trophy.
Bring back the trophy that we assume there is.
And don't catch COVID.
Don't.
Be safe.
It's probably safer over there than it is here.
Still.
Yeah, still.
Just be safe.
Yeah. The amount of people going in Albert Heijn not wearing masks. Ridiculous. Take your basket. If you don't take a basket, you get COVID. Everyone knows this. Anyway, so my answer is the Netherlands.
Good choice.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Make sure you give us a like and subscribe on our YouTube channel or any podcast platform you are listening to this on. My name has been Maxwell Charles, and from myself and my co-host, Prasuk Jain, as always, it has been a pleasure having you, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.